Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I saw something. I read something in the news.
From newsounds.org and our studios at WNYC, it's time for another live performance in our Soundcheck podcast series. Streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, I'm John Schaefer. The band Doom Squad consists of a trio of siblings from Toronto, Canada. They make dance music. It's smart, it's arty, often dramatic, sometimes political, but still, dance music, made with an impressive array of electronic gear and some instrumental surprises. Their most recent record is called Let Yourself Be Seen, and it brings Doom Squad to our studio for a live set, beginning with a song called General Hum.
I'm not conservative, but I find myself clinging on to the past for dear life. I'm not conservative, but I long for the days when a coffee's not the star of an Instagram thread, and I wonder why I am following you when I should be following me. Somehow I've lost my way. What's this force that's moving me?
Well, shut up and talk my mind. I try to stay human eyes.
That is Doom Squad with a live performance of their song General Hum. You'll find it on their most recent album called Let Yourself Be Seen. Doom Squad, as I said in introducing them, a trio of siblings, Jacqueline, Trevor, and Ali Bloomis. Jacqueline singing and playing keyboards, Trevor playing guitar and keyboards and singing, and Ali singing, playing the rototoms, and at the beginning of that song, Ali, the bass recorder, which I don't think I've ever seen or heard in dance music before. Nice touch.
Thanks.
Are you like a classically trained flutist recorder player?
Yeah, I was classically trained on the flute years ago. And, you know, everyone learns to play the recorder when they're really little. And
yeah,
then
I guess.
Just recently.
But most of us don't stay with it.
Yeah. No, I didn't stay with it. And then I just recently fell into a wormhole of bass recorders and bass recorder ensembles, and I was so inspired, and then I went and bought one.
All right. Well,
but I could only afford a plastic one, not like a really right. nice wooden one.
Right, right, right. Jacqueline, this album's called Let Yourself Be Seen, which, you know, is a title that suggests kind of empowerment. You know, it's the kind of title that anybody in any kind of marginalized community could look at and feel like it's aimed at them. Was that the intention?
Definitely, yeah. A lot of the songs on the record are inspired by all sorts of thinkers, dead and alive, outsiders, artists. And then for ourselves, too, we've always admired these people, but always felt like maybe we were behind our art sometimes. So also the title of this record, Let Yourself Be Seen. We're standing in front of the tracks. You know, we're dressing freaky. We hope that other people are inspired to do the same. And it's kind of like this call to arms because it's necessary and it's sort of encouraging everyone around us.
Oh, so it's actually for the three of you as well as for other
yeah.
people.
a lot of what mm-hmm. we're saying is for ourself
mm-hmm.
Through words we've heard or our own words also, and then just sharing them for ourselves and for others to hear.
Well, now, Trevor, would you say that this is also a kind of New York inflected record? Because I certainly, as a native New Yorker, hear a lot of music that I associate with New York City echoing through this record.
Definitely, I'd say a significant amount of our influences are New York bands, like, and not just New York bands from New York, but bands who are the essence of New York music in a lot of ways. And then definitely there's a lot of like British, like UK, like 80s, 90s,
80s punk, new wave,
electronica, that kind of stuff too.
Yeah. But you know, Talking Heads, Tom Tom Club, LCD Sound System.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. All of those.
Yeah. You're on point with
that. Now, Allie has already told us she's classically trained. Trevor, Jacqueline, what about what kind of music was in the house when you guys were growing up?
Our dad's a percussionist, drummer by hobby, and I guess, you know, he did that more full-time when we were younger. So I guess music was a big thing. Classically trained in piano, I was, and vocal training, I mean, and we all kind of played different winds instruments as well.
Oh.
We all went to a performing arts school in like the elementary school level, where you kind of are immersed in all of the four arts. So whether
there
you kind of
only
find
only four,
well, like there was a music stream, dance, visual arts, and theater, and okay. you kind of have to do all of them.
We tried to break away from those genres, you know. Yeah. They do train you in these really specific corners of the arts. You know, when you're younger.
But we all had to pick different instruments. So I got the flute. Trevor got the trumpet, and Jack got the clarinet, so we were all trained classically in those fields, as well as piano for Jack and I.
So do you ever still whip out the trumpet and the clarinet? And
we try. I don't think my skills in the clarinet are good enough to jam with my own tracks. Maybe like some ambient kind of new age stuff where I could drone on it.
Right, right, right.
I found a nice dusty old trumpet that I kind of polished up and I play from time to time. But the main thing is the noise, like in a big city apartment living. I probably would have to, you know, find like a mute for it or something like that. But it's hard to just like practice that without annoying my neighbors.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you went to a school that sort of taught you all of these disciplines at once, because, you know, that can be a very handy thing in a performative art like music to have that sort of dramatic training. And you guys seem to have taken that on board as well.
Yeah. Allie's a dancer also, outside of the band too, and with the band. She dances a lot. There's one track where Allie's just dancing, and if we can, depending on the venue, we keep a flute, a little Irish flute plugged in at the back of the venue, and when she's dancing, she'll just play it by the soundboard.
Uh-huh.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
That's a secret.
But a lot of the influences we grew up, our dad was really into prog rock, like UK prog rocks, like early Genesis with Peter Gabriel.
Right.
And then Peter Gabriel's entire career, like that was always on at our house, Bowie. So a lot of the music we grew up with always had this theatrical element to it too.
Yeah.
So
can I interview your dad? Because I mean, you're hitting my button. You know, you're pressing my buttons with Bowie and Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
And
he's watching right now, so he's probably smiling.
But also, you know, like dance music from Nigeria too. Like there was a lot of dance music and percussive rhythm-based African music that was played a lot when we were young.
Well, and a lot of that music was also about empowering marginalized people in formerly colonial countries mm-hmm. who were kind of finding a way to express themselves. And dance music in the Caribbean, in West Africa, in the gay clubs right here in New York in the early 70s, that's where disco comes from. I mean, there's a long history that you guys are tapping into
totally.
Here.
Totally. It's also like innately political, even if it doesn't try to be. You know, like someone like Fela Kuti, for example, he's such an inspiring artist because he's up there getting people dancing at a time of, you know, political unrest around them, and he's getting all these people into a room and dancing, but then he's shouting really powerful mantras, political mantras, empowerment mantras over top of these rhythms, you know, and then carries into like the origins of house music and a lot of the, you know, New York disco clubs and stuff.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned house music. The piece you're going to do next, Let It Go, has kind of a you know, it seems to me it has the sounds of house music as kind of one of the foundations of the song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, yeah, I think all over on the record too, and it's just, yeah, it does.
I think
yeah.
there was like a little bit of a Underworld embrace on this because it's pretty propulsive.
The band Underworld.
The band Underworld.
Yes. Okay. All right. We're speaking with the three members of Doom Squad, the three Bloomis siblings from Toronto. Today they are here with us in our New Sound studio for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, and this song is called "Let It Go." Tomorrow. The band is Doom Squad, live performance of a song called Let It Go. You'll find that on their most recent album called Let Yourself Be Seen. In the first song, Trevor and Jacqueline were sort of alternating lead vocals. Ali, this song, you took the lead. How does the division of labor work in this family slash band?
I don't know. It's split pretty evenly. It kind of depends on the song and
maybe, how the song unfolds.
Yeah, maybe someone will have a vocal idea before somebody else that fits more appropriately.
We write really communally. So a lot of times we treat our voices as like an instrument and figure out like what vocal quality is the best suited for the song. So.
Right. And then Trevor, of course, you took the guitar solo in that piece, which started out briefly quite noisy, and then, you know, so that kind of movement within a few seconds in this case from noise to music was something that is happening in the course of that song.
Yeah.
How much do you guys stretch in that direction, especially in a live setting?
I mean, our roots are in experimental music. And
are they?
I'd say so. Like, I'd say the community we emerge from in Toronto is very much an eclectic group of artists who are kind of more on the experimental range of music, but also a lot of punk and stuff like that, and especially specifically live, how much we can kind of play with pushing stuff.
Yeah. So has Doom Squad, first of all, why the name Doom Squad? I expect like a black metal band or something with a name like that. You know, you give us something very different. Was that the name from day one?
Yeah, it was. I wish there was a really good story, and maybe we'll come up with like
maybe
a
you'll
really
invent
banging
one?
Yeah, story right. for the name. But I think like when we were first starting to play music, and we also just were like, oh, we're just another family band that's playing music. And people are going to be like, oh, like expect like the Partridge Family or something just really typical. And, you know, we all have this like deep fire that we wanted to like put into the music. And Doom Squad, I mean, there you go. There's a little story. I don't even know if that's like the original one, but
a lot of family bands are very like have this very wholesome image, and I think we wanted to immediately play with the idea of a family band, and that we're pretty cheery people, but
yeah.
And we used to say Doom Squad when people would ask us our name back then, and just I would like lock eyes on, and then they'd just be like, okay, and they wouldn't really ask any more questions.
It's funny because Trevor, as you say, we do have kind of an image of family bands, and that there is something about sibling harmonies, vocal harmonies, that no one has ever been able to satisfactorily explain scientifically, but we all know that it happens, you know? So when the three of you sing together, do you get that little jolt? Do you get that feeling that you just don't get with other singers?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's one of my favorite parts about this project is singing with my siblings. You know, there's all sorts of things you have to work through. But I think like when people are really excited when they just meet a friend or another collaborator and they're like, whoa, we sound good together.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. People are thrilled by that. And yeah, I mean, we've kind of since we started this project, we knew that. And it's just really, it's fun and it's kind of easy and it makes writing really fun. Yeah.
And yet, for example, on the album, there's a song called The Last Two Palm Trees in L.A., where it's kind of this dark, throbbing electronica thing. But if you stripped all of that away and just left the three voices, it feels to me like it would have that kind of quality to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that song is a lament.
It does have a lot of choral elements to it, choral singing.
Yeah. Well, now, there are also songs on the record. You know, many of them, you know, they're protest songs or songs of empowerment or whatever, but some of them are very specific. I mean, songs that name names. Who is Emma?
Emma Goldman is an anarchist feminist from the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
Or, sorry, 1910 actually was like towards the end of her career. The U.S. claims her because she lived here for a lot of her life. She died in Canada, so Canada claims her. She's born in France, was exiled from there, but lived in Russia for most of her life. So she's kind of moved around. She's a really radical thinker, fighting things like equality and same-sex marriage and pro-choice and all this stuff at a really, really early time when people, you know, handing out pamphlets, and she was, you know, jailed so many times. But she says this one thing. I mean, we've been inspired by lots of what she says, but I think being a woman and also dancing and feeling really good to dance through ideas, she was known to say, if I can't dance to it, it's not my revolution.
Wow.
And that really struck with us a lot, because we've been, the whole time we've been, you know, discovering what this album was about, we were really working through change in dance music. We were dancing through our ideas and through change, and we went through a lot when we were putting the record together, and we realized how people have always been dancing through change, dancing through ideas, you know, going to the disco as a utopian space for spirit. And then you think about Emma Goldman and how she was doing that at an early age, and her ideas keep getting recycled through many different generations and mm-hmm. genres of music. And I know, like, punks have, you know, been inspired by her, and the suffragette movement, and now again, but so, we dedicated a track to her.
Yeah, so 100 years ago, she was an anarchist. Today, we'd call her a Democrat.
Yeah, that's true. Democrat Emma Goldman.
and then, Trevor, Dorian's Closet. Dorian is?
Dorian Corey, and this is actually a New York story.
Yep.
Dorian Corey, I guess, is best known as someone who appeared in Paris is Burning.
Right, the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, but they had a much more storied career than just the film. What inspired us specifically about that song was Dorian Corey was kind of a matriarchal figure for a lot of the younger queer people of color in that community. Again, at a time when AIDS was at its highest, and being, you know, person of color, queer, extremely marginalized in New York at that time. And when she passed away due to AIDS, her closet was raided, because it was kind of this, her clothes, she was like a style icon. Her closet was raided by, you know, a lot of her peers, and they found a mummified corpse in her closet. And through, like, forensics, they figured the body must have died like 10, 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she would have moved the body with her from various apartment to apartment. So she was holding on to this corpse. So the story goes is that they think that this person, this body, was possibly an ex-lover who was in and out of jail and abusive and wasn't out of the closet, was married and had kids. And so, like, there was, like, a lot of speculation that she was just kind of killing her abuser, and so that she could kind of stay liberated and stuff.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
And dark.
And yeah, yet, deep and dark.
And yet these songs, you know, for all that it is Doom Squad, you know, you can listen to both of Emma and Dorian's Closet. And as you were saying, Jacqueline, just kind of dance through the darkness.
Yeah.
So both of those come from the new record called Let Yourself Be Seen. But you guys are going to do an older song, something from the last record, right?
Yeah, Total Time.
Total Time was like 2016,
yep.
Something like that. Pyramids on Mars is the name of it, which has a still kind of creepy video that goes with it. There's that dramatic sensibility again. Mm-hmm. But this is obviously something that you guys still feel good about several years later. So let's hear the song. From the previous Doom Squad album called Total Time, here is the song called Pyramids on Mars.
She
That's called Pyramids on Mars. It's a song from the band Doom Squad out of Toronto, who've been playing for us here in our New York studio today. So I know the way the business works, an album comes out and it seems brand new to everybody, but to the band, it's often something that represents work from a year or two ago. Have you guys already moved on? Have you already started writing for the next record?
Yeah, kind of. A bit. Not as much as we want. But,
well, it's kind of hard when you're touring
around. We're still touring, so we haven't really had a chance, but they're there. They're brewing.
They're fermenting in our heart, and we just can't wait to.
Okay, you just got to get the proper alcohol content to that
fermentation.
All right. Good luck with that, guys. Thank you, Ali, Trevor, Jacqueline. It's been great having you here. Thanks so much for playing.
Yeah, thanks so much.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.